This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And in-house is Franklin Foyle. He's running for the Louisiana Senate, the election 2 weeks from Saturday. And come Friday, we will hear from Beverly Brooks Thompson, who is running in that race. They're in a runoff, and it was one of the most contested races in Louisiana House history, because on election night, after a recount of the votes, a temporary recount, it showed a tie for second place between Franklin Foyle and Steve Carter. And then another recount showed Franklin Foyle ahead by four votes, 12,523 to 12,519. So he is the survivor, and now he is the favorite because Steve Carter is a Republican. In fact, these two represented neighboring districts in the House for 12 years, best of friends, seatmates, and that friendship was challenged as they ran against each other. And now it's Beverly Brooks Thompson against Franklin Foyle, and it's been quite an odyssey the last few weeks. What's going on?
Well, it has, Jim. And let me also give a shout-out to my son, Andy, who's a big fan and would normally be here today, but he's in school, but he'll be here next time. But it has been very challenging, but I'm very excited where I am now that I am in the runoff. My wife and I were watching the election results Saturday night on our computer, and there were five precincts left to be reported, and I was up by 43 votes. And when those precincts came in, I was up by eight votes. So we felt at that time that we were in the runoff and were elated. And unfortunately, a couple hours later, in the middle of the night, as we had gone to bed, I got a call from the Secretary of State saying there had been a mistake in recounting the paper ballots. And we were now in a tie for second place.
877-217-5757 is your number. And a reminder that signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. You can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. So you get a call, I imagine, in the wee hours of the morning from the Secretary of State. That's never a comforting thing, because I bet you thought, oh, no, could have been worse. Could have told you you were in third place. But it was a tie, which, as Dan Clater said, the odds of a tie for second in a race with that many votes are about as high as being hit by an asteroid. What was your immediate reaction?
Well, I felt like I was hit by an asteroid myself that night when I got the phone call from Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin, and I really started asking him questions. You know, what happened? Why was there a recount? And this was about 1 a.m., and at that point in time, he said, look, we'll just have to talk about it in the morning. So, of course, I didn't sleep at all that night. I woke up Sunday morning and started researching election law and procedures just to see how this could have happened. And I did talk to Kyle Ardoin later that morning, and he held a meeting at his office that evening with all of the candidates and the people involved in the process, and confirmed for us that they did do a recount of the paper ballots. And when they did the recount, it was a parish-wide recount. There was a tie for second place. But we had the right to ask for a manual hand recount of the ballots, but that would not be done until Thursday. So I did make that request, but I had to wait from Sunday till Thursday before we finally got to the bottom of it and got it resolved.
And it worked out for Franklin Foyle. Steve Carter, closest third place finishes, four votes behind. You would think in ordinary circumstances, he being a Republican would endorse the fellow Republican. I see in his ad he's wishing you well. Do you count that as an endorsement?
Well, I hope so. And Steve did reach out to me after the recount to congratulate me, which I really appreciate. I've known him for a long time, and I think he will support me in the runoff, and I'm hopeful we'll get together and talk about it further.
Well, we're talking 17 days away from the finish line of November 16th. Again, we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment, 877-217-5757. Dan Clater, who holds this seat and is a supporter of yours, was on this show the Monday after, and that's when the world blew up. It happened after the show. He talked about some of the things going on behind the scenes, but never mentioned the name Lane Grigsby. But ultimately, Lane Grigsby's name became front and center as the person who was trying to get you out and get Steve Carter in. You rejected any overtures from Mr. Grigsby. But does that still trouble you, what happened?
Well, it was very odd. I mean, I first read about it in the paper Tuesday morning, and it said that Mr. Grigsby had contacted me directly, which he had not. So I reached out to Dan Clater afterwards, and Dan told me, look, I didn't want to pass that along to you, but that's exactly what happened. So I think it was sort of more of a public request by Mr. Grigsby for me to get out, and I responded and said, you know, this is a decision for me, not for outside forces to try to push me out of the race. And it's a decision for me and my family. And at that point in time, I was ready to proceed for whatever the recount came up with, if I were in a tie or ahead, to move forward, because there are too many people who stuck their neck out for me, supporting me financially and with their time mm-hmm. and labor. And I felt an obligation to move forward.
Now, you and Steve Carter are very similar on issues, not on everything, but on most things. It would have seemed that Grigsby would have been comfortable with either one of you. Why would he want so stridently to have Steve Carter as a state senator rather than you?
Well, I can't speak for him in that respect, so I'm not really sure. But nevertheless, we do have similar voting records, and we have voted similarly on education issues and business issues. But we do differ from time to time, and there may be some specific reasons there, but I'm just not sure about that.
877-217-5757. Mike in Villa Del Rey, you're on the air with Franklin Foyle. Good morning, Mike.
Yes, Mr. Foyle, a little bit off the subject. I got accused of running a stop sign one time, and I went before a judge for it. And the police gave their testimony. I gave mine passionately. And Judge Foyle found that I was not guilty. So I was treated fairly by Judge Foyle, and I always remember fondly this every time I pass one of your signs. I wish you good luck, and I hope you're a fair man like Judge Foyle.
Well, hey, we're talking about your dad, right?
You are. Thank you, Mike, very much for that testimony. My dad has been, of course, a great inspiration for me, and my dad is now 85 but still in good health and putting out yard signs for me. So I'm blessed to have my mom and my dad both on my team.
Well, that was the story that was circulating by Dan Clater himself, that Lane Grigsby was, quote, offering you a judgeship like he could do that. And you obviously are interested in being in the legislature rather than the judicial branch. So,
well, and I'm also a Navy judge. I'm still in the military.
All right. So you are that, but you know, there's some people who, of course, would have taken the offer.
I've really enjoyed the legislative serving in the legislature and the things I can do in that arena, and with the experience I've gained in the House, and I've been, I believe, very effective, I want to take those skills over to the Senate. I've had a passion for helping people with disabilities. My first year, I passed insurance legislation to require insurance coverage for children with autism. And since then, I've brought a bill for the disability community every year, and I have more work I want to do in that area.
Okay. 877-217-5757. We'll spend much of the hour with Franklin Foyle, candidate for District 16. He's running against Beverly Brooks Thompson. They are in the same race after a bitter race involving Steve Carter. And sometimes, as we know, candidates shake hands and move on down the line. It happened with Henson Moore and John Breaux, who ran, I mean, if you remember 1986, they went after each other pretty hard and ended up becoming very good friends. But I think it's even harder, Franklin, when you're running against somebody who's in sync with you. You just, like Billy Tozan and Edwin Edwards never made up after Edwards told Tozan he would not run in 87 and changed his mind. Do you think you're going to be able to repair this relationship with Steve Carter?
Oh, certainly. You know, like I said, Steve and I have known each other for a long time, and he did reach out to me after the recount and offered his congratulations, and I appreciate it. And I look forward to getting his ideas and input as I move forward with this election, and, right, and hopefully I'm successful and in the Senate.
David in St. Francisville says, Franklin is one of the finest men I know. And I said this going into the primary, that there were three very good people. Carter's a good guy, and Beverly Brooks Thompson's an exceptional person. The district will not be embarrassed no matter what happens, but you are now the favorite. It is largely a conservative district. What do you view as the principal differences between you and your opponent?
Number one is experience. I've been in the House for 12 years. I've served on the Appropriations Committee for 8 years, and I've passed a lot of legislation since I've been there. I have been supported by all of the different business groups, the Chamber of Commerce, Lobby, And I think I will probably have some different views about legislation that affects the business community than she will. But I really don't know the specifics of her platform, so I can't speak too much in detail about that.
How much does that label mean? You're an R and she's a D.
It means something, because obviously if you're a member of a party, there are certain principles and a platform that you generally support. But sometimes I don't go with the Republican majority. I certainly have my independence at times. In fact, I've worked very well with both Governor Jindal and Governor Edwards in getting legislation passed. I try to be my own man and do what's best for my district.
877-217-5757. Franklin Foyle in the House. Friday we'll hear from his opponent, Beverly Brooks Thompson. They are in a runoff that is now just 17 days away from the finish line. November 16th is the election. We're back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a moment with Franklin Foyle, candidate for District 16, Louisiana Senate. Covers much of the Baton Rouge area. Franklin Foyle, for the last 12 years, has been a member of the Louisiana House, and he still is Representative Franklin Foyle. The inauguration will be in early January. 877-217-5757. Tonight there's a debate for governor, the only one between Eddie Rasponi and Governor John Bel Edwards, hosted by Louisiana Public Broadcasting and the Council for a Better Louisiana. And Eddie Rasponi has only made two appearances since getting into the runoff 18 days ago. Franklin Foyle, my guess is that as a Republican you are supporting him, but would you prefer more of a vigorous campaign from the standard bearer of your party?
Well, I'll tell you, at this point, I've told people I'm not going to take a public position one way or the other in the governor's race. I am running my own race, and I want to get as many Eddie Rasponi and John Bel Edwards voters to vote for me. And so that's how I am moving forward. But no, it's important to give the people access to the candidates so they know where you stand, so people have information about you. That's been one of my challenges now running as a candidate. How do you get your word out? Social media is so much more prevalent now than it was when I ran 12 years ago for the first time.
Well, in even a race like this, there were a lot of ads. I saw Steve Carter quite a bit on television. Got to see his face quite a bit in those last few days before the primary. And those ads work.
They do, and it's very expensive to run those television ads, and we ran some as well, and we did radio, we've done mail, we tried all the different venues. But I'll tell you where I find to be the most effective is the grassroots campaigning still. I did 15 meet and greets around the district at people's homes. I went to...
You go door to door?
I did some door to door. I went to Boy Scout meetings. I went to neighborhood picnics. In fact, I went to a Cub Scout meeting one night, and I heard later after the election, I met someone there. He said, "We never heard of you before, but since you came to the Cub Scout meeting, we voted for you."
Right. Well, going door to door is still an effective way, and of course, it's a photo op now. Can you imagine if Eddie Rasponi, who, to my knowledge, has not gone door to door at all, and I don't think John Bel Edwards is either, unless it's a name meet, but... Eddie Rasponi grew up on Evangeline Street in North Baton Rouge. Imagine if he went door to door now asking for votes. That would be a photo op. I bet it would be a very interesting scene, and he probably would be greeted very well. They might not vote for him, but I bet they would be happy to see him, because people generally like it when people come to their houses and ask for something, as long as they're not toting a weapon when they're asking for something. 877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on Talk Louisiana with Franklin Foyle.
Yeah, Mr. Foyle, given that you're a Navy JAG and also a Republican in a red state where your party is trying to nationalize the governor's election tied to Trump, are you willing to criticize Trump for what he said about the Army Lieutenant Colonel?
Remind me, Dan, specifically what the comments were. I'm not sure that I recall that.
Dan.
Call him a traitor.
The president, of course, has called a lot of people a lot of names, but he's a guy, if you're running for office here in Louisiana, and I include the governor, will not criticize the president of the United States. He will not criticize him, even though the president's criticizing him. You would take some risk, I would think, criticizing him, but do you think it's sometimes, based on what he says, he warrants some corrective criticism?
He does, and I'll just leave it at that, because as right now I still do serve in the Navy, and he is my commander-in-chief. But, you know, if I see some things sometimes that I'd prefer the president just not say, especially with the tweeting.
Yeah, well, you're not that kind of guy. For example, your father, 85 years old, he would never conduct himself in that manner, would he?
No, and that's just my kind of style and his kind of style. I try to be well-mannered and diplomatic when I work with people, and that's how I've been my whole life.
877-217-5757. Beverly Brooks Thompson is a person we're going to find out more about. She was on this program, as was Franklin Foyle, before the primary, and she will be with us this Friday. And this particular district is one that includes LSU, and a listener asks about higher education funding. It got eviscerated during the Jindal years, is a bit better now, but when you look at buildings at LSU and at other campuses, there's a lot of work to be done. What can you do?
Well, I am happy to say I pulled some figures before I came on your show. Higher education funding has been going up since 2013. But, you know, you go around the LSU campus, there's some buildings that are in really poor shape. But my daughter, who just graduated from LSU, was in the business school. And that's a wonderful example of a public-private partnership. Great building. I think it was about $50 million to build that building a few years ago. And she had a great education at LSU. But, yeah, it does bother me that we don't make higher education as high a priority, in my opinion, as it should be. But it's always a matter of dollars. Where are you going to take the dollars from? And do we have too many universities? One thing we probably need to look at, and I think it'll be a big issue moving forward, do we have one management board for all the universities?
Okay. Would you like to see that?
I think it's something we need to look at because I think we need to have our universities working together instead of competing against each other. I think we should have one flagship university for a state our size, which is LSU, and LSU should do certain things that are unique for a flagship university. But right now we have all the universities, you know, trying to compete against each other and doing everything for everybody. We also need to make our community colleges more attractive, and I think we're making progress there. But for years in Louisiana, we used a lot of our universities as community colleges.
Gaston on Highland. Gaston, you're on Talk Louisiana with Representative Franklin Foyle.
Hey, Mr. Foyle. Just a two-part little question is, what about early childhood education, the foundations of our society? And also, I wanted to ask about the minimum wage. Are you opposed to raising the minimum wage? Because it's difficult to make it on what we're offering people.
Yeah, thanks, Gaston. Let me answer both those questions. First, with early childhood, of course, we need to invest in early childhood more than we have been. I was appalled when I first found out that you didn't have pre-K programs for everyone. I mean, when I grew up, or with my children, of course, I made sure they had pre-K education. And I heard one person say, I think it was Cecil Picard years ago, said he would get rid of 12th grade if we could put the money in early childhood. And I think that makes sense. As far as the second question, and I talked about this last time, in fact, when I was on the show with the minimum wage. I don't think the state should put in a state minimum wage. I think it should be dictated by the market. I do not think the minimum wage is a living wage. I don't think it's meant for people to live on. I think it's meant for teenagers who are lifeguards, just getting into the workforce, you know, to help them get started. Also, if you raise the minimum wage, it's going to hurt people with disabilities who want to take jobs. Employers are going to be less likely to hire them. So I think you let the market dictate what the minimum wage is.
Bill Huey asks, does Franklin Foyle, or has he modified his position on ITEP after his bill failed in the legislature?
Yes. I was concerned last year when the governor issued his executive order to change the rules to try to have a uniform system locally to decide whether the ITEP should be approved or not. And I listened to both sides and realized it's going to take some time to come up with the best solution. So I pulled back pushing my bill this past session in that respect. But what I told the opponents, right now you're only living on an executive order. A different governor can come in and that executive order goes away and then there will be no local involvement. So I think there needs to be a balance. I do think the locals need to be involved. Right now, under the executive order, the mayor is not involved. I think the mayor should be part of that process.
All right. Thomas from Woodland Ridge says, how does Representative Foyle respond to folks who feel he is circumventing the spirit of term limits by switching houses of the legislature?
I don't feel like I'm circumventing the spirit of term limits. I am not running for the House. I knew going in I could only run for three terms. I've never been in the Senate before. There's an opening. Just if I were running for judgeship, there would be an opening. I've got experience, and so I offer that. And if people don't like my experience, then I'm sure they'll vote against me, and that will take mm-hmm. care of that.
Well, and he's not alone. Francis Thompson, he's gone back and forth now twice, right?
He has, and there have been others. That's not my intent. I'm looking for.
You're not going back to the House after you serve in the Senate if you win.
12 years in the House was long enough. I enjoyed it, but I'm ready to move on.
All right, 877-217-5757. We have another segment with Franklin Foyle, candidate for District 16, Louisiana Senate. And, of course, the supermajority is a possibility. Franklin Foyle's a Republican. His opponent, Beverly Brooks Thompson, is a Democrat. We'll talk about what's going to happen in the next term when we return after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. Franklin Foyle with us for another segment, candidate for District 16, Louisiana Senate. Hayden in Gross Tete. Hayden, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Oop, we just disconnect you. Please call back, Hayden. We'll get you right in and put you ahead of the pack. So Franklin Foyle has elicited some email questions. Sherry Garisco says Louisiana ranks as one of the highest states in the number of poor children and families. We have the third largest income gap between wealthy and poor. If you do not support raising the minimum wage like Arkansas, what will you do to lift working families from poverty? That's from Sherry Garisco.
Well, I don't think lifting the minimum wage will get families out of poverty. They will still be in poverty if they're relying on a minimum wage. Once again, the minimum wage is not a living wage for a family to depend on. It's for workers entering the workforce, such as teenagers and other people like that. And once again, I know plenty of people who own restaurants and other businesses. They can't hire people for minimum wage because the market dictates a higher level of pay.
877-217-5757, Hayden in Gross Tete. Good morning, Hayden. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
So my comment first was not about minimum wage, but I just feel the need to clarify that, you know, while you're saying that it's not a living wage, that's you're completely out of step with the foundation of the Fair Labor Standards Act passed by FDR. Almost explicitly, the minimum wage was intended to be a fair living wage that every person in the United States could, at a very minimum, pay their bills and get by through life. And
All right.
I understand that. And, you know, once again, the federal government has set the minimum wage. They certainly could raise the minimum wage and make it uniform if they feel that's necessary.
Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Good morning, Charlotte. You're on Talk Louisiana with Franklin Foyle. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning. When I dialed the number, it was my intention to state that the minimum wage was instituted to provide a means for people to support their family. And since the gentleman said it right before I did, thank you very much for letting me contribute.
All Bye. Right. Thank you. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, I definitely agree. We don't need a minimum wage. It just eliminates jobs. But I want to talk about the TOPS, the TOPS entitlement, the money that we give to people. You know, when I went to college, I had to pay for it myself. The cost of college was at market value. Now the college, you know, LSU knows they're going to get the money. All these community colleges know they're going to get the money. So they charge whatever because they know they don't have to compete in a market. And we're funding it. It's not the role of government to be funding the TOPS program. What are you going to do about cutting this entitlement?
Well, I appreciate the question, Patrick. In fact, a couple of years ago, I introduced a bill to raise the requirements for TOPS because I believe the program should be for the best and brightest and not an entitlement like you put it. And I think it should be based on how the kids perform and not how much money their parents make. And we want to keep our best and brightest here in the state. Right now, you only need a 2.5 GPA to qualify for TOPS. I introduced a bill to raise the GPA to 3.0. I got a lot of pushback on that, so as a compromise, I moved it down to a 2.75. I got that bill through the House, and it got killed in the Senate, and the governor was against it, and so was President Alario. So I'm going to continue to bring legislation to try to make the TOPS program stronger moving forward. We did pass a bill a couple of years ago which decoupled TOPS with tuition increases. So now if tuition goes up, TOPS will no longer go up unless the legislature votes to raise it. But I think TOPS is a good program, but I want to make sure it's here for the best and brightest.
Delia writes, few people would argue with Representative Foyle's statement that experience counts. How then does Franklin Foyle and others explain why so many people would choose for president or governor a candidate with no experience in the government arena?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself that I do think experience counts. And like I tell people all the time, when you hire someone to work for you who's going to make money for you, you want the person with the most experience, and that's what I offer. I see that once you're in office, people like to call you a career politician. I'd like to think of myself as an experienced public servant.
Jennifer Harding in downtown Baton Rouge says, Representative Foyle, have you accepted any campaign contributions from Mr. Grigsby?
I have not. He's not offered any to me, and I have not accepted
any other race prior to this one.
Yes, in 2007, the first time I ran, I did not know him. I met him, and he gave me a contribution, and that was it.
877-217-5757, John in Collegetown. Hello, John. You're on Talk Louisiana with Franklin Foyle.
Hey there. Mr. Foyle, I just wanted to ask, where do you stand on marijuana legislation for, first broadly, the federal government, and also would you be willing to put Louisiana ahead of the federal government, assuming that eventually that will get passed?
I have always supported medical marijuana legislation. I think it's important, as long as it's overseen by the right people like doctors, to let people have the opportunity to get the relief that it may afford them. I also helped push the hemp legislation this year as well to make that legal. I'm not ready yet to say that I would support just opening up marijuana for everyone. But under certain circumstances, once again, with the medical marijuana and the hemp, I have supported those ideas.
And you're in accord with the governor on this issue as well. Now, I recall at the press club when the question came up about the abortion bill the governor signed, Beverly Brooks Thompson, who is a supporter of the governor, said that she thought this was about control, that it wasn't about anything other than control of women's futures, their bodies, their destiny. I have a feeling you look at it differently.
Yeah, I have voted pro-life since I've been in the legislature, and that's been my record. I did support an exception for rape and incest, which did not pass, but I thought that was the humane thing to do. But ultimately, I have been voting pro-life since I've been in the legislature, and that's where I've been.
Nicholas on Nicholson says if women receive the same salary as men for the same job, that would alleviate some of the disparities. What about the equal pay legislation? What is your position on it?
I'm open to legislation that would make sure that people get equal pay. It's a matter of how you accomplish that. It sounds good, equal pay for everyone. I have two daughters, and I certainly want them to be treated equally. But it depends on how you went about implementing that policy. I would have to look at that more closely, but I'm certainly open to looking at that further.
I mentioned the fact that there could be a supermajority in one or both houses of the legislature, and the Senate, of course, is very close to being in that number. It'd take 26 Republicans to get to two-thirds, and Franklin Foyle is a Republican. If that's the case, will it matter whether Eddie Rasponi or John Bel Edwards is governor? It seems like the legislature, if the Republicans stick together, would pretty much be in command.
Well, I think it does. I think it could make a difference. I mean, it's hard to get a two-thirds vote, and you can't presume that just because someone's Republican, they're going to always vote the same on every issue. In fact, there are many issues we have in the legislature that are really not an R or a D issue. So both governors will have to work to get their votes. Clearly, if there's a supermajority of Republicans, it'll be easier for the Republicans to get their legislation through the process. But the governor of this state, regardless of the legislature makeup, is a very powerful position. He still has the line item veto and many other powers that he can work with.
And another listener notes that you came in with John Bel Edwards. You know this guy pretty well. You were freshmen together back on January 8th, 2014, I believe. You took the oath of office January 14th, 28, right? That was at 2008. You took the oath of office together. And he, I think, naively thought that he, because he was friends with people like you, that he could coax you into doing things that you might not otherwise do. But has that relationship been affected by the fact that you've had some vigorous debates with the governor, you and the Republicans in the House and Senate?
He and I have gotten along ever since we first got elected. We're about the same age. We both served in the military. We both have children the same age. And so we have a very good relationship. And during his time as governor, I've met with him many times in his office to talk to him about possible compromises, especially as we went through some of these numerous special sessions to figure out a way we could end them. And I agreed to work with him on many of those issues to try to come up with a compromise. So I'm always willing to work with whoever the governor is to try to do what's best and get results.
Maxine on Menlo says, it's my understanding that Representative Foyle voted to mandate guns for teachers. She asks, is it wise to arm teachers?
I'm not sure that I remember the specific legislation in that respect. Obviously, I respect the Second Amendment rights, but I would have to go back and look at that legislation to see exactly what it was about.
But as far as philosophically, is that a good idea to arm teachers just in case?
It could be if they're trained properly and you know who has the weapons and so forth. But once again, it would have to be very well regulated to make sure that you have trained folks with the weapons to protect the kids that are there.
Well, we wish you well, and certainly you are the favorite in the race because obviously Steve Carter's votes would philosophically seem to be more in sync with Franklin Foyle, but it is a race, and you have a very good challenger, an impressive person with a lot of ideas that she's not afraid to convey. I like on the choice issue. I was surprised that she was as demonstrative as she was, but she was, and we'll hear more from Beverly Brooks Thompson. And I'm sure when all is said and done that the two of you will probably be able to work together.
I certainly believe so. I look forward to getting the race finished, and I'm going to work hard till the end. Thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you, Representative Foyle. 877-217-5757. We'll return with more Talk Louisiana after this brief pause on 89.3 WRKL.